article at the New York Times, What the Left Misses About Nationalism. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon.
You're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM.
You were right as always.
As always.
I know, you love it when I say that. Tom Rowe, if you're listening, please clip that, because I know Ellen would love to hear that played repeatedly on this station.
No, you don't have to do it. I don't need it. I don't need it. I pat myself on the back.
There you go. And she did it literally, folks, for you who missed that, because we're not on TV.
Tune in Tom DiPietro and Ellen Thurston every Thursday on the WGXC Afternoon Show, 4 to 6 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
All Together Now listens for feedback from the public. Anyone who wants to leave a public comment can call 518-291-9492 and leave an audio message up to 3 minutes.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, October the 18th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Special Counsel Robert Mueller now expected to reveal findings of his probe right after the November midterm elections. Also on the Thursday rundown, the poorest people pay the highest taxes in states like Nevada. And the Terminator fights gerrymandering. Topping our news, special counsel Robert Mueller expected to issue findings on core aspects of his Russia probe soon after the November midterms. Bloomberg reports that comes as Mueller faces intensifying pressure to produce more indictments or shut down his investigation. Specifically, according to Bloomberg, Mueller is close to rendering judgment on two of the most explosive aspects of the probe, whether there were clear indications of collusion between Russia and Trump's 2016 campaign, and whether the president took any actions that constitute obstruction of justice. Meantime, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein told the Wall Street Journal the Russia investigation has already revealed a multifaceted Russian effort to meddle in the 2016 U.S. elections. Nationwide, low-income people are paying much higher rates of taxes than high earners, and Catherine Davis Young reports Nevada's taxes are among the most unequal in the country. That's according to a new study.
The analysis by the nonpartisan Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy shows that on average, the poorest 20% of Americans spend about 50% more of their incomes on taxes than wealthy people do. Carl Davis, one of the study's authors, says Nevada's poorest taxpayers spend more than 10% of their income on taxes, but the highest earners pay barely 2%.
There's a bigger gap between rich and poor after those taxes are collected than before. So it's driving apart incomes that are already very far apart at the low and high ends of the income distribution.
Davis says major factors are sales tax and excise taxes, which get built into the prices of products like beer or gasoline. He says when states rely more on those flat taxes across the board and rely less on taxes based on income, poorer people end up giving away bigger proportions of their paychecks and get pushed deeper into poverty.
The study calls the majority of state and local tax systems in the U.S. fundamentally unfair. The study adds if issues of income equality persist, states may have difficulty raising revenue over time. Actor and former GOP Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger will headline a rally Saturday. He'll be promoting an anti-gerrymandering measure on the November ballot.
The Terminator will appear in Ann Street Plaza at 9:30 a.m. just before the Michigan-Michigan State football game. Katie Fahey with the group Voters Not Politicians says Proposal 2 would establish an independent, citizen-led redistricting commission in place of the current system that allows politicians to choose their voters, not the other way around.
Republicans were in charge of this most recent process, and even though we voted 50-50 for our congressional seat, we have 9 Republicans elected and only 5 Democrats elected. And when Democrats have been in charge of this process, we've seen similar results.
Fahey says as it stands now, the party in power has an incentive to draw strangely shaped districts that concentrate most of their opposition into the fewest districts possible, called packing, or they engage in cracking, where they split communities into multiple districts in order to dilute their power at the ballot box. Electoral districts are updated every 10 years, and the next one will be done in 2020.
Proposal 2 would establish a redistricting commission made up of 13 citizens, including Democrats, Republicans, and independents, who would be forced to hold public meetings and compromise when creating future voting districts. 4 types of California's native bumblebees could be wiped out if nothing is done, according to conservation groups who petitioned the state this week to put the bees on the endangered species list. Experts say the bees are in big trouble because habitat has been lost to housing and agriculture. Kim Delfino with the group Defenders of Wildlife adds that many bees are vulnerable to disease carried by non-native species brought in for pollination and to a class of pesticides.
The thing that's really tipped them over the edge is the widespread use of certain pesticides. You know, when a pesticide is applied, it takes everything out, including the beneficial insects like native pollinators like these bees.
She notes that the crotch's bumblebee has declined by 98% from the historical numbers. The western bumblebee declined by 84%. And finally, a federal program vital to conservation efforts in Pennsylvania expired last month, but Andrea Sears tells us there is bipartisan support for its permanent authorization.
Since 1964, the Land and Water Conservation Fund has brought $315 million to support more than 1,500 projects in the Keystone State, preserving monuments such as Valley Forge and building local recreation areas. But Congress has frequently failed to spend money from the fund and missed the September 30th deadline for its reauthorization. According to John Walliser with the Pennsylvania Environmental Council, a bill to save the fund has broad bipartisan support.
We have the majority of the Pennsylvania congressional delegation signed on to legislation that would permanently reauthorize the fund and also fully appropriate it.
House Resolution 502, as it's known, would permanently reauthorize the fund. It is co-sponsored by 13 of Pennsylvania's 18 congressional representatives. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Thursday should be sunny with a high near 39 and a low around 30. Friday should also be sunny with a high of 56 and a low around 43 Friday night with a 30% chance of rain after 2 a.m. Those showers could linger in the morning Saturday, which will be mostly cloudy with a high of 54, a low around 33. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, Creative Community Radio.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pigs are awesome.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Did you hear that?
No.
Pull over. Gently.
Nice and easy.
That's it. Pull over and pledge your support to WGXC 90.7 FM during our sustaining supporter pledge drive, October 10th through October 23rd. Do it now at wgxc.org/donate and consider becoming a sustaining supporter. By becoming a sustaining supporter, you're investing in community radio every month. Your financial support is tax deductible, allows WGXC to meet the most basic operating costs, and keeps WGXC on your FM dial.
No way!
Yes way!
From our studios in Hudson, Catskill, and Acre, New York, WGXC has brought Greene and Columbia counties local news, opinions, music, traffic reports, politics, interviews, live performances, and more for over 7 years. So stop, pull over, and donate. WGXC.org/donate.
Another pledge drive. This one's a little bit different. We're calling this one the Pull Over Pledge Drive, and what exactly does that mean? Well, we know that the car is probably the primary transmitter or receiver of radio waves, and you might catch a bit of a show here or there on your commute or running errands. Maybe you have it on in the kitchen while you're making breakfast, while you're writing a letter, while you're registering to vote. But, you know, we want to encourage you to take some time to give to our pledge drive, our October pledge drive here. And we don't want you to do that on the road. So, why don't you pull over, find one of those tech stops, or you know, just find a nice parking spot there, and take out your phone and either navigate over to WGXC www.ksat.org/donate, or give us a call here at 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400 to make a pledge while you're still thinking about it. Now we're taking a little bit of a different approach, a little bit more of a modern take on this, as you loyal WGXC listeners are sure to have noticed. The pledge drives have been a bit of a drag the last couple times. So we're putting less of a focus on scoring big one-time donations, and we're looking more for people to sign up as sustaining donors. So that is essentially you go through the process, and your monthly donation in an increment which you dictate will come out of your bank balance, or I think it's through PayPal, credit card, bank account, PayPal, however you set that up. Your monthly donation will be taken automatically. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. And more importantly, we don't have to worry about it. If we can get enough monthly sustaining donors, we don't have to do these really anymore, or at least not to the extent that we have in the past. So, let's throw our support behind this beautiful community station here, because I have lived many, many places, and I can say in full confidence that there is not another station like this out there. So again, visit wgxe.org/donate, or call us here at 518-697-7400 and become a sustaining supporter.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeple. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
Next, we have these reports.
And now Sylvia Hasenkopf, the Greene County historian, is here to tell us about a show. Is it a lecture or presentation this Thursday?
Well, it's more like an informal get-together. The Caro Historical Society, who kind of embraces Legs Diamond because he had a home there in Accra for a number of years. We're going to be hosting a get-together where we're just going to share stories about Legs Diamond, about his time in Caro, about his impact to our community, impact to Greene County at large, his legend and the reality.
Is he the best-known historical figure from Greene County?
It's
hard to say, I guess.
I would not say the best-known historical figure. I mean, we've had quite a few people that have come in and out here, including James Bogardus from Catskill, who's the father of the skyscraper.
Hmm.
And then we've had quite a few. We had, you know, guys who invented things and people who have, come through here. If you had asked me that question, I would have had that one ready. because there's so many, and I'm just drawing a blank.
He's the most notorious.
Probably the most notorious, you know, because, you know, our memories are probably as immediate as the stories that we hear from our families. And certainly the legend of Legs Diamond carries on today through the oral histories that are within families in Greene County. Because if you post something on a Facebook page, which we've done with the Carroll Historical Society Facebook page, tell us your stories, you know, and things would pop up. For example, I have a few, like, you know, Doug Person said, my grandfather, Floyd Webster, actually worked on his car in his garage in Carroll. It was a green and cream colored Cadillac. He would park his car in my grandfather's garage so he could work on it, and he would borrow another car to drive to Acre. This would also throw off any cops on his trail. So, I mean, then we have other stories like, let me see. There was the story of David Stott, who said his father was an Albany cop. He grew up in New Baltimore. He used to take us, meaning David and his siblings, for a Sunday drive down what he believes was Route 9W, down along the Hudson River, where along the route was an old shack near the railroad tracks. Dad used to say that was where Legs Diamond's hideout or house was located. The reality was is that Legs Diamond had hideouts all over Greene County.
How many did he have?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think anybody will ever know that, you know, because...
They were shifting and...
I heard he never stayed longer than 3 days in one spot. You know, that's how you avoided getting shot. And he was shot like 25 times. I mean, he was shot often.
Wow.
So it's one of those things where he kept moving around to avoid being killed.
And he only lived to 34. So, and you said he first got arrested when he was 17. So, he was getting shot more than once a year.
Yeah, sometimes it would be 3-4 shots at a time. But you know, none were life threatening until the very end in 1931, when he was surprised at his Dove Street apartment, and they all think that was an inside job by the cops. You know, William Kennedy, who has written many, many books about
it, was in Albany.
In Albany. You know, has put forward the story that, let me just grab my note as to who that was. It was the Democratic leader of the party in Albany, Dan O'Connell. He actually apparently had put a quote-unquote hit on Legs Diamond, because Legs Diamond was trying to muscle in with the... with, you know, the heroin action and so on. And Dan O'Connell says, well, you're not muscling into our territory, because he kind of ran things there and, in fact, ran a lot of the illegal crimes at the time. And so I guess William Kennedy interviewed Dan O'Connell later in life, and he talked about how he had, you know, a local cop go in and actually whack him. And so that's how Legs Diamond got killed, was, you know, through an inside job, so to speak.
How did he get to Greene County in the first place?
Well, that's an interesting story. So if you think about Legs Diamond, you know, most people know that he was, you know, probably one of the most colorful bootleggers, gangsters, not a mobsters, because the mobsters were really the Italian crew.
He wasn't Italian?
He wasn't. He was actually born in America, whose parents were all Irish. So he's descended from Irish immigrants. He was the grandson thereof. And born in Philadelphia in 1897. Had kind of a tough life. His mother died of intestinal tuberculosis when he was really quite young. He saw two of his siblings die not long thereafter of various really horrific illnesses. So it was just him and his father and his younger brother who were growing up in Philadelphia, and he started to run amok, basically, once his mother died. And at the end of the day, his younger brother ended up with tuberculosis as well. So his younger brother was also a little bit of a low-level hoodlum, never gained the notoriety of his brother. But, you know, his name was really John Diamond. He went by Jack, and nickname was Legs, and I'll tell you what that means in a moment. But anyways, he was very, very protective of his younger brother, William, so he actually rented a house up in Acre around the early 1930s, maybe late 1929, so that his brother could get to the good, clean mountain air for his tuberculosis. Mm. But his brother eventually died just a year or so later. Anyways, But that's how he ended up in Cairo. But once there, he also realized it was a great place to set up his Applejack bootlegging business because there was a lot of local stills anyway in the Prohibition era. The farmers were doing it, so he had a steady supply. It was kind of in the country, so the cops weren't breathing down his back. He had a lot of room to move, a lot of room to run away, and he really liked it up there. So that's where he set up shop.
You were telling me before that there are still some of the stills are in the woods somewhere.
Yeah, I had a local guy who actually told me that his grandmother, Ligzam stayed at his grandmother's resort in Acre, and that's how he first got there because she was Irish. So he stayed at an Irish resort in Acre and liked it enough to actually rent the place that also in Acre. And so, you know, my friend knew quite a few of the local areas where the stills were. And he took me on a tour once. And we went up and, you know, up the hillsides looking for the local stills, which were basically rusted almost completely away. But that's where they did their bootlegging business, the old farmers. You know, they were trying to make a living. During the Prohibition era, people still liked to drink, even though the rules were against it and the law was against it. And Jack Diamond knew how to tap into that. He was actually very beloved in the area. He was known as the local Robin Hood.
Really? Did he? He gave to the.
Oh yeah, he would go into the local, A&P Main Street. I don't know if the A&P was open yet, but it was the local food mart. And would say, at Thanksgiving, I want you to give a turkey and all the fixings to the three poorest families in the community. And he would pay for it. He had heard about a woman who lost all her clothing, everything she owned, in a fire in Catskill, and gave her $100 so that she could go ahead and rebuild her life. He would go to the local community theater. I think it might have been called the Nalita at that time. I'm not exactly sure. But the theater, and sit up on the balcony when it was open and throw candy down to the kids down below. Another great story, he was coming down the mountain from Hunter and had a flat tire. And a local guy stopped, changed his tire for him, and he gave him $50. So he was known for that kind of generosity locally. But people also knew that he had a ruthless side. They were careful. They were no fools. But they did enjoy his largesse. In fact, he funded the money to build St. Edmund's Chapel in Acre.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so was it kind of a strategy to get on people's good side, or was it he's just an affable sort that...
You know what? I wouldn't call him affable necessarily, but I think like most people, he was multifaceted. He had more sides than we really knew. He had that ruthless side where he didn't think twice of taking down someone that stood in his way business-wise or affronted him in some way. He had well-known beefs with Dutch Schultz and with Mad Dog Call, also gangsters from New York City who set up shop in the local area. Dutch Schultz was up Phoenicia Way. Mad Dog Call was up in Cairo as well. So there was bad blood there, and he would take out anybody that stood in his way. But at the same token, I think he had that good Irish boy, you know, give to the community Catholic kind of thing going on. And he did it. Maybe he just felt good and it made him feel like somebody when he actually was able to put a smile on someone's face. And the other side, it could be just as well calculated that if you take care of the people around you, they'll take care of you.
And how, I guess the stories you hear now are from two or three generations removed?
Well, in some cases,
are there still people that actually
generations down.
Are there still people alive that actually knew him? Or
they would be like two or three, probably.
Yeah.
If you had asked me this question 10 years ago, there would have been probably a few of the old-timers that were still around. Most of the old-timers that would have been around when he was in Cairo were born in... Yeah, you know, they're 90 now, so they would have been born in the mid-1920s. So whether they
kids
were
very young
and whether they knew him or not. I mean, Tommy Rogers, I should ask him this, in Cairo, who owns Rogers Garage, he probably has some great stories because we have some incredible storytellers in our community. Bill Freeman, who passed away just about a year or so ago, also would have known great stories of Legs Diamond. So, yeah, capturing those while we can would be so important.
And is that your part with the Cairo Historical Society?
Yep.
Is that one of the things that you guys do is try to
yes, we
gather
try to
as
capture
much?
As much as we can. Now, of course, we're limited by our ability to understand the technology of how to do that because I'm not a technical person. In fact, turning on the VCR and recording was always a huge challenge for me. But, you know, setting up, you know, a series.
So glad we're back together now. So glad you're here. Got lost in the jungle out there somewhere. You never know how much I missed you. Getting by every day without my best friend. Yeah, I'm so glad that we're back together. You and I.
This is Zena.
And this is Jahera.
And you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acre.
I forgot to keep talking.
Keep talking.
That happens sometimes.
WGXC believes in hands-on, two-way radio. We provide public access to the airwaves, giving individuals and organizations the means to tell their own stories. WGXC listeners make radio, participate in on-air conversations, record public meetings for broadcast, contribute content, host their own shows, and much, much more. The G and C stand for Green and Columbia Counties in New York. WGXC is listener-supported, and we serve 78,000 potential local listeners in the Upper Hudson Valley, in addition to listeners from across the globe online. Our programs can be surprising, while wholesome, are very often experimental, and almost always entertaining. Program applications are accepted year-round, and no prior radio experience is required.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
This is our fall 2018 pullover pledge drive, and the number to call is 518-697-7400 or online at wgxc.org/donate. And with this pledge drive, we are asking our listeners to become WGXC sustaining supporters. And we're looking to welcome 250 new monthly sustaining donors to WGXC because growing a community of sustaining supporters is vital to this radio station's longevity. This is Timeless Vibes with Seth Rich. I'm Neva Wartell, sitting in with him. Hi, Seth.
That? What is happening? Hello.
Hi.
So, yeah, this is Timeless Vibes. This is our donation special here for this hour. We are currently looking for 250 supporting members. Is that right?
Sustaining supporters.
Sustaining supporters, right.
Which means giving making an investment on a monthly basis so that we have a better idea of what our operating budget can be. And it's actually easier in a sense if you have an account that we, you can spare $5, $10, $20, $50 a month It comes right out of your account, and you know you can do your budgeting. You know exactly how much will be coming out of your account every month, and we'll know exactly how much is going into our account every month.
It's true, and but you can, if you don't want to fully commit, you can donate just offhand.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You don't have to do a sustaining membership. Absolutely, you can just give the regular one-time donation. We will not turn down anybody's money, and it is, of course, fully tax deductible, whether it's a sustaining donation or a one-time donation. It's tax deductible. We are a program division of Wave Farm, which is a nonprofit transmission arts organization. So,
and I think this is going to be a very strange donation special for this hour, because I have Halloween is coming up in 20 days, I believe, and so I have a lot of not spooky music, nothing that's going to terrify you, but definitely has a haunting atmosphere to it, or themes to it. Most of it, though, is pretty much just sort of fun, scary music, if you get my drift.
Well, I think that sounds like a good soundtrack to, it's a pretty scary prospect to not having WGXC on the air, so maybe that could be sort of a soundtrack for, like, oh!
It ties in. It fits. Hopefully it will not be foreboding or ominous or foreshadowing of the fate of WGXC, but it should be okay, I hope.
Well, you want to get started with that music? Let's see. Let's get an idea of what that sounds like.
Okay, you are listening to Timeless Vibes here on WGXC. This is the fourth movement, The Seal, Golem War and The Seal, from an anime whose title I actually cannot say, because the anime is titled after a swear word, but it is the piece's name is The Fourth Movement, The Golem War and The Seal, composed by Kohei Tanaka.
Next, we have these reports.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Are you a
WOOC Radio in Troy?
Okay, thank you.
All right. WOCC Radio in Troy.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you.
I wonder if you could talk about the media representation of you coming from the FASO campaign. What's really behind this whole thing about you and hip-hop?
The question was about the media representation of me, and in particular, my time as a hip-hop artist determined to help young people get more civically engaged. To be clear, the mission behind my music was always upliftment. It was always positive. It was always about trying to make sure young people felt inspired to highlight issues that they felt weren't being talked about, whether it was income inequality, whether it was wealth disparity, or a broken system not responding to a lot of people at all. Climate change also, bless you. Climate change was also something that I spoke about in 2006. For those who don't know, the Washington Post recently said that my lyrics were wonky. Let that sink in. Wonky. So my point is that when you deal with art and you pull words deliberately out of context for your own purpose, it's very easy to paint a picture that can generate divisiveness, and it's a nasty, cruel, and ugly way to campaign. And it is a distraction, and it is a disservice to the folks who need and deserve better. And you better believe that in me you got somebody who will stand up for what I did then, because what I did then is what I'm doing now, which is speaking truth to power. That is what I'm doing. And And I can't tell you how moved I am by the support. Whether it was the 18 clergy members who came out and wrote a letter calling Fazlo to shame, or whether it was the local papers and national papers who made it clear, as the Washington Post did, the ads are grossly misleading, or whether it was Dr. Benjamin, a good friend of John Fazlo, who personally called me to apologize for the ads, or whether it was John Fazlo's predecessor, Chris Gibson, who went on record saying he regrets the tone of the ads. At every turn, across party lines, people are stepping up and saying, this can't be tolerated. Where is John Fazlo on this? Why can't he step up and say, we can do better?
I'm a Schenectadian, born on Parkwood Boulevard.
All right, Schenectadian.
And we're for Citizen Action. I want to know where your stand is on the Child Care for Working Families Act and the Family Act and those bills that have been languishing in Congress that address women's role as caregiving and how that keeps low-wage women out of the workforce.
I'm all for that. Child care for women, universal pre-K. We have a number of legislation that are on the table now that need to be prioritized and make sure that the people who are doing the work among working families in particular are given the support that they need. You know, what's unfortunate is the fastest growing group of people in our society right now are working poor people. It's the fastest growing class of Americans, and they're not getting any support. Instead, they're being demonized, right? The housing programs are being defunded. The SNAP programs are being increased in terms of work requirements, even though there's no, the fraud we're talking about is minuscule. There's no justification for this other than to take because you want to pay for something else that doesn't need any more help. So we've got to get to a point where we prioritize. I can't tell you how many discussions I've had with mental health care providers, you know, folks who deal with disabled. The people who are getting hurt the most right now are the most vulnerable amongst us. And I think there's this mindset from our politicians where, well, they're not going to vote. Their votes don't count. So they're louder? Really? Okay. Their votes don't count. And so this idea that they can just be pushed to the side and marginalized is not at all who we can accept ourselves to be. You judge the society's moral compass by how it treats the least amongst it. Yep. Right? That's how you judge it. I might lose my voice, but let's keep going. Yes?
So I'm interested in knowing your position on the public school versus the charter school situation. This administration is pushing a lot of, you know, private charter school, and I see the public school is sort of a foundation of our democracy. I'm curious where you stand on
that. Yeah, public schools are the foundation of our democracy. I'm proud to be endorsed by the teachers' unions. I'm proud to stand up for public schools. Here's the thing. We don't, if you're born certain limited economic means or you got to struggle to make your way because of the challenges we face in this country, maybe as a woman, person of color, the great equalizer in this country traditionally has been education.
Yes, sir.
That has always been the great equalizer. That was the phrase my parents preached to me in my household every day. This is it, man. You work hard, you get good grades, you got a really good chance to go and do whatever you want to do. Just study. But when you start gutting resources from that level playing field on a public level, that ultimately undermines the very core of our democracy and allows folks to benefit from their built-in privilege at the expense of those who don't have.
Yeah.
And when you got the likes of Betsy DeVos at the top. I knew that was coming. But what's fascinating to me is they can't find money, you know, to support public schools. All they can do is talk about privatization. But they can find money, which blows my mind, as she tried to do a grant. They found money quick to arm teachers. So you can find money to do some backwards thing to deal with the problem of gun violence. You can do that, but you can't find money to empower our teachers, to empower our young people, and make sure they have a future.
Yeah.
It's imperative. We spend more money. This is a big issue for me. Because we spend more on corporate welfare, over $100 billion, propping up big oil, propping up big ag, propping up big base telecommunications than we do in the Department of Education. Think about that. We spend more propping up corporate America in welfare than we do our children.
Yeah, speaking of money, and you don't have a lot of it, but if it's the source of all evil in politics, what can you do on the federal level to reduce money in politics and get us around to the rest of the world with public financing of elections?
Yes. So number one, to correct the record, we've been raising some good money from people, from individuals, and we're competing because people are engaged, and that money is critical. We have not, though, taken a cent from a corporate PAC.
Good.
All individuals. And I want to, it's so important. People think, oh, money in politics is some abstract thing. No. When you don't hear John Faso say Medicare should have negotiating power with Big Pharma, there's a reason. It's because Big Pharma says you can't, John. That's why. That's why. There's a connection. When you hear John Faso, you see him vote for a bank bill that enables the big banks to do what they want to do. There's a reason for that. It's because the big banks said, we want you to, John. When you don't see John Faso do the work to protect the EPA and do the work to make sure we invest in renewable energy, it's because he's got the fossil fuel industry telling him, you can't do that, John. So there's money. That money in politics has a direct impact on your life. It has a direct impact on your life. When he says that the government has no role to play in K through 12 education, which he's on the record of saying, it's because he's in the pockets, or I should say, the privatization effort of schools is in his pocket. That's how it all connects. So how do we change this, right?
Yeah.
One, elect folks who don't take corporate PAC money, number one. Number two, elect individuals who are committed to overturning Citizens United. Number three, elect folks who are committed to real campaign finance reform and passing legislation that empowers folks of limited means. There is legislation right now in the House that does that, that has matching funds that we could actually pass that will enable folks of limited means. I don't come from money. My wife doesn't come from money. We were just blessed to run during a time where a lot of people were wide awake, and with a lot of hard work, we said, can you help? And a lot of people felt compelled to do so. We have friends who've never given a cent to a candidate over the course of their life who are giving now. This time is different. It is different. And that's how we're able to do what we're doing. We're able to run a campaign that's not traditional in how we raise money because of the non-traditional way that folks like yourselves have stepped up. And we need that energy to continue. And that's another way we can help, making sure that we empower citizens to vote. Because no amount of money can erase a vote. It blows my mind that Election Day is a Tuesday. Why isn't it a holiday? Why can't we make it a day where everybody can show up comfortably, not worry about missing work when they got to work two or three jobs to get by, or they got to worry about childcare, right? Make it easy for folks. Same day registration.
Early
registration.
Yeah.
Return 18. You get a license, you're registered.
Yes.
It's not that complicated. But we have a system that is designed to suppress that vote because we all know that most of us agree on these things. Most of us are more or less aligned with these issues. And the problem is, we're not voting. Vote. Get out there, find some more people, and vote. And if we do that, we'll change the story.
Many thanks to Richard Goldstein of Pennsylvania for going to WJXA Online to support in honor of The Overlook Show with Rob Saffer. Okay. No one for our show yet, though. Which would be nice if you're a listener to become a sustaining monthly supporter in our in the name of our show.
That's right, and we're awaiting our next guests as we
In the meantime,
we're talking about sustainable.
Yeah. In the meantime, please call in and let us know that you want to become a sustainer. In other words, if you go online and become a sustainer, let us know so we can, you know, give you a shout out. And we could do that if you call it either on the pledge drive line of 697-7400 or to talk to us, which is an honor in itself, 828-0290.
Think of it this way. $5 in when you think about the times in which we live.
Mm.
$5 a week.
Mm. A month.
A month.
A month or a week.
A month. Right.
You can
a,
do
month.
It a month or
Sorry.
A week. It's all right.
Adds up very quickly, and it's like, I won't say you won't miss it, but I don't think you will. And it ends up being, at the end, $60.
I know. Five. What's $5? $5. You know, hand that out on the street. Don't, well, no. You just, I mean, what's, you know, $5, I understand. To some people, it's a lot of money. But that's okay, because if they're listening to the show and they're not contributing, you know what that's called, Ellen?
No.
A free rider.
Oh.
You know?
Well, you know, some people would rather give their time as a volunteer.
Well, that's good, too, if they have no money. But if they have money, fork it over. That's what I say. Pull over, because that's the name of our pledge drive thing. Pull over your car, if you're in your car, and get on your little device, whether it's a phone, whether it's an iPad, whatever, and put in WGXC. And at the /donate button, become a sustaining monthly supporter. I hope that call is for us.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media. James R. Campion, president of Columbia Green Community College, has announced he will retire in June at the close of the 2018-19 school year. Campion has led the college since 2000. Campion said, and I quote, "My career in higher education goes back 45 years. I first entered the State University of New York system 50 years ago this past September. It's been a long and rewarding journey and has reached its natural, if not bittersweet, end," end quote. Campion was born in Rhinebeck and has been involved with the community college on an administrative level since 1974. Campion was the fifth president in the school's 52-year history. During his tenure, Campion guided the college through multiple fluctuations in student enrollment, a recession, and preparing the college for the future with a $20 million capital project. Campion will retire to his home in Livingston. He is a trustee of the Columbia Economic Development Corporation, a member of the Olana Partnership Emeritus Council, and a member of the Columbia County Community Healthcare Consortium Board of Directors. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. William J. Kimball is reporting in the Times Union. The town of Rhinebeck is asking the state to reject Amtrak's request to erect fences and gates along the railroad tracks at some of the most popular Hudson River access points. At a meeting October 16th, the Rhinebeck Town Board approved a resolution allowing the town to send a letter to the state that contends there has been an ongoing effort by Amtrak and the state to keep local residents from accessing the river. The letter cites lost access in the village of Castleton on the Hudson, as well as ongoing attempts to close down access in Stuyvesant and Hyde Park. In addition to Rhinebeck, gate and/or fencing projects are currently proposed for Tivoli, Germantown, Stuyvesant, and Stockport. Amtrak parent company National Railroad Passenger has submitted an application for review by the State Department of State, arguing the fence and gate project will prevent train collisions, and I quote, "with either a vehicle or human being," end quote, without restricting authorized river access points. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Brendan J. Lyons is reporting in the Times Union. The chief of staff for State Senator Simca Felder was placed on paid administrative leave October 16th after the Times Union had earlier reported that the aide, Rodney C. Powis, 48, an attorney from East Greenbush,
had been accused of groping and sexually harassing a female lobbyist during a campaign fundraiser for State Senator George Amador. Polis attended the event as Felder's representative. The victim of the assault filed a criminal complaint with local police and notified Felder's office of the allegations over the weekend. The Senate's investigation of the matter will be handled by a private firm, and the Albany County Sheriff's Office is in the process of interviewing people who attended the party. Late Monday, Amador initially declined to say when he had been made aware of the incident. He said, and I quote, "I really don't know, really, what you're talking about, and I don't feel that I should, at this particular time, chat with you because I don't know," end quote. Amador did not say whether he had reported the allegations to Senate leadership as required. He called the paper back about an hour later to say that he had reported it, but declined to say when that was done. A Senate source said Amador had reported it over the weekend. His Democratic opponent in the upcoming election, Pat Strong, issued a statement criticizing Amador's handling of the matter. Strong said, and I quote, "Sexual assault and harassment took place at a George Amador fundraiser, and it appears nothing was done to address this situation until the press got involved. We must believe women and make it safe for women to come forward," end quote. The Senate's sexual harassment policy requires an investigation because Polis attended the private event on Felder's behalf and the alleged victim interacts with the legislature in an official capacity as a lobbyist. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Thursday should be sunny with a high near 39 and a low around 30. Friday should also be sunny with a high of 56 and a low around 43 Friday night with a 30% chance of rain after 2 a.m. Those showers could linger in the morning Saturday, which will be mostly cloudy with a high of 54, a low around 33. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, Creative Community Radio.
We are in the midst of our pledge drive, the Pullover Pledge Drive. WGXC's Pullover Pledge Drive will be running from October 10th to the 23rd. And during that time, we are looking to welcome 250 monthly sustaining donors to WGXC to grow our community of sustaining supporters. We do that. Man, that is vital to the station's longevity. Now, we know many of you listen in your cars or at work, and that WGXC is a companion to your busy lives. So during this pledge drive, hear what we're asking. We want you to stop for a moment and pull over from whatever it is you are doing right now and donate your support to WGXC by becoming a sustaining supporter. Your gift of $5 or $10 or whatever it is.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acre, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.